from deep inside the Death Star, or maybe the Millennium Falcon. I don't know what we're calling it now. I'm Chad Beter.
I'm Trey Nash.
All right. So Trey's back with us this week. We talked last week a little bit just generally about our jobs and the exciting things we do in the customer service and support division.
Yeah, and yeah. I just realized I'm wearing the same shirt that
I know. It's crazy. Crazy how that works. It's like, well, you're, you know, here for Tech Ready. You only brought one shirt. That's how it goes.
Yeah, well, you know.
You pack light.
Us developers.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. It's a developer thing. So we talked last week. You are here to deliver a WPA talk at Tech Ready. And
right.
You maybe can show us a little bit of what you're going to talk about there and kind of give us some demo of WPA, how to use it to troubleshoot a real issue.
Definitely, yeah. You know, WPA, it's a Windows Performance Analyzer. It's part of the Windows Performance Toolkit. And let me just go to, I already have a trace opened up inside of it. And I got some things I'm going to talk about here, but you know, we're not talking about how the trace is collected. There's some good documentation on that.
Mm-hmm.
But
we've done a show on that as well, like using WPR UI and things like that.
Yeah. And right. So let me just give a little background about the scenario. This is one of those issues where there was an application that required very regular notifications.
Okay.
And if it didn't get those notifications, whatever type of notification they were, it went into this really disruptive reset state. And then so the big question was, what is going on? And you know, in the past, these are kinds of things that we probably would have captured a dump file for.
Sure.
And you know, dump file is a really infinitesimally small snapshot in time.
Right.
It doesn't really give you any of the dynamics of what's going on.
So the dump would maybe tell you what state that application is in, but not how it got there or what
right.
the circumstances are that led
right.
up to that.
And in this particular issue, when we get down to the root cause of what it is, then we'll really see that a dump file probably would have been very ineffective at, you know, for the most part, tracking down what this problem was. You know, once you know what it is, you could probably find something in the dump file that would clue you in.
Right.
But
yeah,
know.
Well, dump file is sometimes a needle in a haystack, especially if it's not a crash situation.
Right. Right.
You know, my experience is a crash, well, sure, you go look for the crash. It's right there in front of you, bang, analyze. But if it's like the app's working but just not working right, and you're not familiar with the app, it can be a real tall order to figure out what's wrong, right?
Right. Right.
So yeah.
And you know, coming from a development background, I really, every time I write my blogs on the NT debugging blog site, and every time I deliver these kinds of talks, I'm always really going after a developer audience because I want to evangelize how awesome these tools are for developers.
Sure.
And I think a lot of developers don't even really know, number one, that they exist, and number two, what they're really capable of.
Sure, and yeah. So, I think a lot of developers probably don't really get much outside of Visual Studio a lot of the time.
And best part, they're free.
Sure.
Absolutely free.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's dive in. So on this trace, you know, if you've ever looked at WPA before, and I'm going to use Mark Rusinovich's wonderful Zoom It tool. So you'll see me zooming in and out and, you know, marking things and pointing to things like this. But this section over here, wow.
Oh, that was crazy.
That's not what I expected. That has something to do with the presentation software. This section over here is what's called the Graph Explorer, and it's one of the things that's going to pop up immediately when you open it up. And what's interesting about this is you see there's not a lot of stuff in here. What's
right.
going on with that? You only see this little sliver over here to the right, and that's a clue that circular buffering was going on.
Uh-huh.
And you can get a little more information on that if you go under Trace, under System Configuration here, you look at Traces, and you can actually see this trace was running for almost a day and a half.
Oh, wow.
And so this particular issue was hard to find. And that's the wonderful thing about this. You can just turn on the tracing, use circular buffering so you don't blow out your disk drive and everything, you know, and just let it go. And then when you see it happen, hopefully you're there when it happens.
Well, the other thing is you don't want the trace to get too large because you have to have a lot of memory to open it. To even look at.
Absolutely,
it,
right,
you
right.
want to keep those trace sizes down if you can.
Exactly. So to start out with, since I knew this was kind of a computational problem, you can drop open the computation group here, and then we've got a little thing here. We've got two different things here that are really important. We've got CPU usage precise. Now this is really amazing. This is every single time a thread is swapped onto and off of the processor, we log an ETW event. And amazingly, it doesn't hamper the performance of the operating system.
Very efficient.
I mean, it's amazing to me.
Yeah.
That's just voodoo.
Those wizards over in the kernel.
Right. Yeah. And so that's the precise one. The sampled one, this is using the profile interrupt to, at regular intervals, fire an interrupt on the processor and sample what the stack was that was running. Mm-hmm. So that helps you answer questions of, hey, my CPU's running out of control. What am I doing here? Mm-hmm. But in this case, I started out with just pulling CPU precise from the graph viewer over into this analysis view. And immediately, you're sitting here, and if you've never used WPA, you're thinking, what in the world am I looking at?
Right. Pretty overwhelming.
Right. And your two main sections here, you've got a top portion here that's your graph, okay? That's this portion here. And it's graphing, in this case, utilization by process and thread. And there is a drop down there, you can change that. And then down below, you have the table information, which is very powerful. We'll get into that here in a second. And what I can see here immediately is I've got this process that's just running quite a lot on the CPU, and then, this might be my problem area. Because the blue shading represents all the time slices that this process had to run on the CPU, okay? And so I come over here and I have a look, and let's see, this process, notice when I select it in the graph view, it also highlights down here. I don't know why that zooms out like that when I do that. That's very frustrating. Okay, bob.exe.
Sure.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Good old Microsoft Bob.
Well, it might not have been Bob, but it is now.
Renamed to protect the innocent.
Exactly, exactly. And so this section is kind of interesting to me. So if you come over here and you click on this, and now my mouse is kind of hanging up on me. There you go. We see that it's the system process. Your next question, obvious question, is what is the system process doing at this time? Mm-hmm. And that's where the CPU sampling comes in really, really handy. You drag that in here, and after you come up into your trace menu here and configure your symbol paths, which I all have locally here, but you would want to point that to the external public symbols server, and then click load symbols, which could take some time. You'll be able to come down here and notice already that this is the guy that we're after, and it's highlighting system. You right click on the header here of the table area, and you choose stack. And now we can look at those sampled stacks and see exactly what we were doing. And what this number here is representing is 885 times this particular, a stack with this particular call on it was sampled. Okay? So you dig down to the bottom and you look at this, and now you have to kind of apply a little bit of your Windows internals knowledge here. From, for example, Mark Rusinovich's books.
Sure.
Wow, I've mentioned Mark twice. I think he owes me dinner.
We mention him a lot on the show. He's
right. So in this case, what we're doing is we're balancing a working set of a particular process, and that requires us, you know, we're adjusting virtual to physical memory mappings. We're having to adjust the page table entries. And in the process of doing that, we have to tell all of the other processors on the system to clear their translation look-aside buffers, which is a thing built into the processor that caches the virtual address to physical address translations, right? Mm-hmm. And this thing has been, that's what it's been doing. And if we come over here and we turn on CPU, that answers the question of exactly which CPU was executing that. So now, there's two CPUs on this machine. So now we've got some good information here. CPU 0 has probably sent an IPI, an inter-processor interrupt, over to CPU 1, telling it to flush its translation look-aside buffer, and it's waiting for quite some time. So
during that time, that sort of is going to take priority over whatever other process was running on, because IPI is very high.
Very, very high-level interrupt, yeah. Very high URCL. So let me go ahead and close that down. We kind of have a little more information on what we think is going on. One of the things that is, you know, again, when you're analyzing these, it really helps to apply knowledge of the Windows internals. Yeah. So anything that you can glean from the Windows internals books, it's just going to be gold when you're analyzing these. And one of the things that we look at when we have a dump file, for example, when we have a performance problem, one of the many things, is the ready queues. So every processor has a ready queue mm-hmm. when a thread is ready to run. Say you have a thread. Now here I have a graphic here on my desktop here. And let's suppose you have a thread, in this case, new thread is the name of it, just for the sake of this graphic. Right. And it's running along, and now it enters a wait state.
Right.
It says, say it's calling wait for single object on an event.
Sure.
At some point in time, which happens to be right here, some other thread sets that event.
Right.
And that's when the thread in green gets put on the ready queue for that particular, a particular processor.
The thing you were waiting for has happened.
Right.
And you are now ready to run.
Absolutely, right. And then point number three here is when that thread that was put into the ready queue actually gets an opportunity to run.
Right.
Okay, so anytime you see this scenario of what we're seeing here, it's logical or seems logical that maybe those ready queues are starting to back up. And we can very readily see that in a debugger. Mm-hmm. And so if we had a dump of this, we would see that, oh, the ready queues are backing up. We have a performance problem.
So the CPU is busy doing something. None of these threads that want to run have gotten to run.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. And so one of the things that I wanted to show you here that's just really super cool is in this view, you've got this drop-down list, and you can choose these different visualizations of this data. And you can look here at timeline by process thread. And what this does is this is giving you a view of, let me go back to my desktop here. This is representing this point in time right here. Every one of those little slivers of time represents when a thread got time to execute on a processor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, wouldn't it be cool if I could change that and get it to show me this range of time instead?
Okay, so the time between when a thread says it's ready to run, or when we decide a thread is ready to run, and then it actually gets to run.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So this time right here represents how long the thread was in the ready queue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so logically, if we could somehow visualize that in a way that shows us that we've got a lot of threads or a handful of threads in the ready state for a long time, that's a good piece of information.
Sure.
So the way you can do that, it's pretty cool. And again, it all goes back to this graph and understanding. One thing I wanted to point out is all of these individual names, these are the column names that you see in that table.
In WPA.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so what I can do is I can use that information to come over here and say, all right. Well, before I go there, I do have to explain one more thing, one more pair of items here. We have these bars, these really confusing bars in WPA. We've got a gold bar and we've got a blue bar. And what that means, what those mean, the gold bar is what's called the aggregation bar. Anything over to the left of it is that item is used as a grouping mechanism, mm-hmm. okay? So you can see here we're first grouping by process and then we're gonna group by thread. Mm-hmm. And then any line that has one of these little carrots on it where you can drop down, it's got this thing called an aggregation line. And the aggregation line is really important because for these columns, you can have an aggregation mode, which in this case is sum, mm-hmm. okay? And if you were to drop down, say, this guy right here, I mean, the sum is zero in this case, mm-hmm. but the value that comprises this cell right here is computed from all of these,
mm-hmm.
okay? So let's get back to the task at hand. And let's find these threads that have been in the ready state for a long time. What we can do is the other bar that I didn't really spend much time explaining, if you click on this little gear right here, you go into the view editor, and you can see the bars here as well. Everything that's to the right of the blue bar is data that goes into building the graph that you see there. Okay,
right.
So right now we've got switch in time and next switch out time. And if we look over here, we see that's point number three and point number four.
Mm-hmm.
I want to change that. I need point number two. So fair enough, that's easy. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the quickest and easiest ways to do this is to just be in the view editor here and take ready time, just drag it right over there, uncheck next switch out time, and there we go. Now, we're not done.
Okay.
We can't say okay, because WPA needs more information on how to render this data. It needs information about how to calculate the durations that it's showing in this graph, and that's where you go into this advanced view under graph configuration. And here, you can control all of those things. So right now, the start time is switch end time. Remember, it's currently targeting this right here. Well, we want our start time to now be ready time, and we want our duration to be ready microseconds. Okay? So let's change this around. And unfortunately, the UI is a little cranky. You have to remove it first, and then we say the start time is now ready time. Our duration is no longer going to be new in switch time. Our duration is going to be ready time. And we can go ahead and change this end thread ID. Notice you have these nice descriptions over here that describe what these things mean. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it's not going to be new thread ID. It's going to be old thread ID. And in this case, the other values, the end time and the wait duration, they don't matter. So we're done here. Now we can say OK. And if you looked really closely, you saw a little change there.
Sure, yeah.
OK. So you just have to trust me when I say that now, instead of looking at, let's see, instead of looking at this range, we're now looking at this range right here. Okay?
Okay.
So, okay, great. Now what? I'm drinking from the fire hose here when I look at this data. This isn't really, you know, I'm almost there. Well, if you go back into the view editor settings, it's got some pretty cool filtering capabilities as well. And so let's say, I don't know, I kind of had an idea how long this thing was stuck based on what the user told me. Mm-hmm. So I could come over here and say, you know what, I only want to see these threads that were, say, ready greater than 100,000. And 100,000 what? That's what this little red line is saying.
U.S. It's microseconds.
Exactly. We already know ready is measured in microseconds. So all you got to do is throw a little U.S. on there, hit OK, let this go back, and boom! All right.
Wow.
Now we've got some interesting stuff. Now, I know your eye might be drawn to this over here, mm-hmm. but here's where you have to really understand that you're using circular tracing. Because WPA is really this massive state machine representation. And in this case, these durations that it's trying to display for you are missing the start events.
Ah.
So it's noise.
Right.
Another clue that you've got circular logging going on is your time won't start at zero.
Sure.
Down here.
Makes sense.
Okay, so we'll ignore those. The ones that are interesting are these over here. And oddly, that corresponds to the point in the graph we were looking at earlier.
Sure.
Okay. So let's pivot this table around a little bit and have some fun digging into exactly what's going on here. If I click on this guy, let's see, why is that not working there? Let's just click on Encarta there. And believe it or not, it's not Encarta.
Again, the names have been changed.
To protect the innocent.
That's right.
It's actually this thread, 2924. So it's this guy right here, and this is actually the point. This guy right here. And notice this column is telling us the amount of time it's spent in the ready state.
That's a long time.
That's almost an entire second.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really long time. What was this CPU doing that this poor thread had to sit in the ready queue for a full second? We can answer that, and that's what's amazing about this graph. So what we can do, remember I said we log every single context switch event.
Mm-hmm.
So let's pivot things around here a little bit. You know, I really don't care too much about the process at this point, but you know what I want to do? I want to turn on, let me go into the view editor here, and let me drag CPU over here, because I want to sort by CPU, because I know it's CPU 1 that's our problem child, right?
Right.
And then you can actually filter by that. You can right click here and say filter to selection, okay? And Notice there's not a whole lot of data here. The fire hose is not wide open. Well, that's because we still have that filtering in place. Right. Yeah. So first, let's go remove that. Pretty simple to do. And
back to the fire hose.
Back to the fire hose. Okay. And to find that thread again, well, again, I really don't care about the process. I'm going to drag that over to the right of the gold bar so I'm not grouping by it. As a matter of fact, you know what? I might just, well, let's leave it there for now, but I'm definitely not interested in what thread it was. So I can turn that off. And then to find our thread again, we can sort by, we scroll over here, we see, now another thing, remember I mentioned the aggregation mode? Mm-hmm. The aggregation mode for this guy is maximum. So that means when you sort, you'll, you know, if you sort descending in this case, you will see the one at the top is the one that spent the most amount of time in the ready state for that particular process. And remember, we were interested in this one right here, the Encarta process.
Encarta, yeah.
Right. So let's go back into the view editor. And let's add some more items here. What I want to point, what I want to focus on is this information right here. This point in time and this point in time. Where did my mouse go? Resolution is really messing with my computer here. Anyway, you get the point. Points 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Switch in time and next switch out time. Okay? So we go back over there and you can drag as many of these in as you want. So switch in time, let's put next switch out time right there. And you know what? Let's go ahead and actually see the duration. And that's called new end switch time. Okay. And just for convenience, let's grab our ready information. And let's move it a little further up here. Okay. So we have it in view. And now, so here's our thread in question. Now I'm going to sort by switch in time. And this is where things get kind of interesting. So if you look closely, you can see that these numbers match. Right?
Okay.
And that's because this is the data that represents the times when, for example, this thread right here got switched on and switched off the processor. And so at the time he gets switched off, the next guy gets switched on.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So with this view, now we can go back in time and see what was going on this CPU.
So this is a very granular view of each and every thread that got switched onto that processor.
Absolutely.
One after another.
And it's just an amazing wealth of information. And all you have to do is be able to pivot these tables around to render the data in the exact way that you're after. So we see our picture here. Here's our thread that waited in the ready queue for almost an entire second. When he finally got to run, he only got to run for 10 microseconds.
Wow. After waiting for a second.
That's all he had to do was 10 microseconds of work, but he had to wait a full second for it. So let's just start going back in time here and see if we see anything interesting.
You see Bob running a lot.
Do you see anything interesting?
A lot of idle up there.
Now, remember, this time right here, the new end switch time represents how long a thread spent on the processor.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me go back there. Oh, got a little, there we go. How about that?
That doesn't look good.
This is a thread that was switched onto that processor for almost an entire second. Maybe he's our culprit.
Right, but it's not, right. I mean, the new process is idle, but you have to look at the previous one, right?
Exactly. So we're going back in time to see what was going on this CPU that this guy got stuck in the ready queue for so long.
Right.
This kind of explains it. Yeah. And a little more telling is this piece of information right here.
That the next
process. It's the idle process.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, armed with that information, that gives me the inclination to come down here, and in this particular trace, we also captured power information, specifically CPU idle states, and I can drag this over here into our analysis view, and I can expand the actual states for CPU 1, and then what I want to do is I want to massage the tables a little bit, and I want to add state just to the right of the gold bar. And then I also want to take this sum duration, and then I want to set the aggregation mode to max, because I want to be able to sort and see which one had the maximum value. Put that there, and now we sort. Go back up to the top of our list, and look what we have here. Our processor was sitting in the C2 idle state for an entire second.
While we had a thread waiting to run.
This is why the CPU, why CPU 0 was waiting almost an entire second for CPU 1 to clear his translation look-aside buffer. He was fast asleep the entire time. And armed with this piece of information, we're able to go to the person that was complaining about the ill behavior, suggest that they go into their BIOS and disable C2 sleep states. Notice the problem went away, at which point they then contacted their vendor for a BIOS and firmware update.
Interesting. So this is really more of a firmware problem where that CPU was going to sleep when it should not have.
Exactly. But this really highlights why a tool like WPA and the Windows Performance Toolkit is so powerful to go after these kinds of problems, because a dump, if you've ever captured dumps of a kernel, of an entire system, whether it's a kernel dump or a complete dump, you'll see that quite often the CPUs are sitting there in the idle state.
Right.
Because they're going in and out of idle state all the time.
Right.
And so if you're looking at this dump and you see that CPU 1 is in the idle state, oh, well, big deal. I see that all the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't really think anything of it. It's
exactly.
You're used to seeing that stack, that
absolutely.
You know, in the KI idle thread or whatever it is. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then just one other thing that I wanted to add is that if you pivot these tables around in a certain way, and for whatever your situation is, whatever kind of troubleshooting you're doing, requires you to do that a lot, you notice every time I made a change, this little asterisk appears right here next to this drop-down list. Mm-hmm. And so you can actually come down here into the view settings, click manage, and give this a name. My cool graph, for example. And this actually, I said graph, but it actually applies to the table and the graph. Uh-huh. And now you've got it in this list, and you can pop back and forth. Because if you didn't do that and you were to choose one of these others, you would have lost all of those changes. And then you can save all of that in what's called a profile up here in the profiles menu, and then reapply that later when you open up.
For future traces.
Exactly.
Great.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's a long way to go to find that, but not really, because like you said, using any other tool, that could have been really hard to find. That this is not a case of software doing anything wrong. This was a case of software was waiting for CPU time and just couldn't get it because the firmware was off.
Exactly.
In the weeds.
Exactly.
Somewhere.
The OS was waiting for a CPU to come out of sleep state, and we just got stuck doing it. And
great.
So, a couple of the important highlights, or at least one of them in particular, is really knowing your platform.
Yeah.
Is very essential.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you're a user mode developer or a kernel mode developer.
Right.
If you become one with the Windows internals books and really understand how Windows works, then utilizing this tool is going to be much more efficient for you.
Yeah, that's a good point, because really we started out treating this as a user mode situation where you've got this user mode process that's just waiting and seems to be hung for a little while. But, we end up drilling all the way down, past kernel, down into the firmware, essentially, for the final root cause.
Right,
you get a really holistic view of things with WPA that way.
Definitely. Yeah,
great.
So I evangelize this tool to all the developers in my network as often as I can.
That's fantastic. Great. Well, thanks a lot, Trey. That's our show. If you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes. As always, feel free to email us, defragtools@microsoft.com. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next week.